are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, February 27th. And today we're going to talk to Keith Langlois, talking to Pistons and also the newspaper business. But this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for spreading the word about the Lockdown Pistons podcast. A great month of February is concluding, and we appreciate you guys contributing to that. Today we're going to look ahead to tonight's game against the San Antonio Spurs, rematch of the 05 Finals. I know that both of these teams have been waiting for this battle tonight to avenge that loss for Pistons fans. We're also going to talk about what former Piston is helping out the playoff push from afar on Tuesday night. And like I said, we're going to talk to Keith Langlois of Pistons.com, former Oakland Press sports columnist and sports editor as well. Going to talk about this year's team, Keith's journey through the journalism world, the Oakland Press days. We're also going to, I asked about Cosmo, who wrote about me a couple times, the character that wrote the high school sports prediction columns for football and basketball. Maybe my high school sports career highlight was being put in his prediction column a couple times about why my Kimball basketball team would win or lose. A big moment there for me. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook as well. One more programming note. I'm going to be out of town next week from March 9th until March 12th. And so if you look at the schedule there, during that weekend, there will be a Pistons game that I will probably not be watching very closely. Now, I'll do some advanced contents for the shows on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But like I said, there's going to be some games in there that I'm going to be missing. And if you look at the schedule, you know what I'm talking about. The weekend games, I think it's like Chicago on Sunday maybe. So what I need, if there's a listener out there who would like to do the first third of the show for me for Monday, and then maybe another one for Tuesday, and maybe another listener for Wednesday. So what I'm looking for is three different listeners out there who can put together kind of recaps of the game from the Bulls game on Sunday, and then looking ahead to whoever they play that next game, and then maybe a recap of the Tuesday game as well. I just need like 6 to 8 minutes. If you can make it into an MP3, so if you got to be able to have those capabilities for me, decent sound. I'm looking for some of those guys who do some of those recaps on Twitter videos online. I'll reach out to those guys when I get a chance to. But like I said, looking at guys who can, or guys and gals, of course, who are willing to watch the game and then a couple hours after the game, email me an MP3 that's decent sound quality of them talking about their game. You can talk about whatever you want to promote if you're a writer for the Detroit Bad Boys or Palace of Pistons, whoever you are. You do this kind of stuff and plug your stuff. Do it in your own style. Just pass along kind of a recap of the game. You can be angry about it. You can be happy about it. However you do it, that's fine. Just want to make sure you mention the score and some of the details and where the Pistons playoff situation stands. But otherwise, free reign up to you. So email me at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @Yahoo.com. If you are interested in that, reach out to me on Twitter or wherever. And if you want to be part of the show, we'll get three different people to kind of do the first 6 to 8 minutes. And then I'll have some banked content for the last couple of segments, so you don't have to worry about that. But if you're interested, go ahead and please email me about that. But Pistons in San Antonio tonight, 8:30 p.m. start. It's the Spurs, so they're tough, but they're really struggling right now. We also know that Lonnie Walker and Deontay Murray, they've been out pretty much the whole season. Murray the whole season. Walker, by the way, is playing in the G League now, recovering from his injury. He could be back soon. Bruce Brown's college teammate at Miami there. So Lonnie Walker could be a factor in the San Antonio playoff push and the playoffs if they're able to get back for the 22nd straight year. But the Pistons' remarkable injury luck this season has been ridiculous, as we know. Don't tell me about Ish Smith's injury being a huge part of the problems for this team, because every team has more severe injuries that they have been dealing with than the Pistons with just Ish Smith. To have Andre and Blake and Reggie Jackson, knock on wood, and Luke Kennard, relatively healthy, he missed a short stretch. But those three guys to be as healthy as they've been all season has been remarkable. The Spurs, like I said, have been bad lately, 1-7 on the recent Rodeo road trip, which is a big part of their season every year. They lost to the Knicks and Nets at the end of that trip, and Knicks and Nets gave them high fives and gave them high losses in those games as well. 21 straight playoff appearances, like I said, is in jeopardy right now for the Spurs, who are sitting in the eighth spot with LeBron James. You know he'll make some sort of run. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. Maybe I'm holding on to something weird, but I think it's a slam dunk that the Lakers still make the playoffs, but maybe I'm just a LeBron slappy. But could be the Pistons' big moment tonight to help out the Red Wings' recent streak of 25 straight playoff appearances, as far as you know the recent historical context of what the Spurs have done with 21 straight playoff appearances. We know Popovich's bunch, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, still doing their thing, just not much help lately. But still, the Pistons, 4.5-point dogs on the road, so that sounds about right, as you expect the Spurs to swing back pretty well now that they're back in San Antonio. Pistons, after this game, are going to be back in action on Saturday against Cleveland and on Sunday at home against the Toronto Raptors. But NBA news from Tuesday night, the most interesting development by far for Pistons fans was Henry Ellenson. Yes, that's right. Henry, dispatched by the Pistons in order to sign Wayne Ellington. So Henry Ellenson leaves for Wayne Ellington in a similar named little transaction there. Ellenson was picked up on a 10-day contract by the Knicks. In his second game for New York on Tuesday night, off the bench, he had 13 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists in a career-high 36 minutes for New York in a 108-103 victory over the Orlando Magic. A big-time three-pointer towards the end of the game kind of put it away for the Knicks. He went 5-for-11 from the field, 3-for-6 from three. What a game for Henry Ellenson, and hats off to him. Puts the helps out the Pistons with their playoff push, as the Pistons are now inside the playoffs by 2 full games over Orlando, the 9th seed, Pistons 7th seed right now. But just crazy. Nice to see Henry getting his. I think we can all kind of agree that Henry didn't really get a fair shake here in Detroit. Not that he, and from the outside, we all kind of figured that there were a reason for that, that they just thought that the defense wasn't going to ever be NBA quality. Now, certainly it's going to be a bad look if he has a nice career after this. We know about the defensive limitations. Wasn't really a bucket getter either, enough of one anyway, offensively, to make up for the defense. And one game with New York doesn't prove anything. And really, for a tanking team the rest of the season, nothing that happens the rest of the way is probably going to mean anything if he is able to procure a deal for the rest of the year, and we'll see if that happens. But just keep this in mind. File it away. Pistons playing April 10th at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks in the final game of the season, which could have some playoff implications for the Pistons. Maybe get in or stay home if they lose to the Knicks. And they could be lining up against Henry Ellenson in what could be a legendary Henry Ellenson revenge game. But up next, we're going to talk to Keith Langlois of Pistons.com. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. We'll queue up the newest episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I want to join you on your ride to work or wherever you're going these days. But we also have an important favor to ask you, and we would like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners just like you, most importantly you, and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us which Locked On Pistons host you like and which other people you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete the survey. By participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. Again, that's lockedonpodcast.com/survey. We appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Keith Langlois of Pistons.com. You probably already are, but you can find him on Twitter if you haven't, at Keith_Langlois, which is LANGLOIS. Keith, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
No problem, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you're down in San Antonio as we tape this on Tuesday night, getting ready as the Pistons will be back in action on Wednesday night against the Spurs. Now, my thoughts on the biggest difference with the Pistons in these last 8 games or so, and even further than that, and it's not a very profound thought, has kind of been the play of Reggie Jackson lately. You're seeing him up close every game. You've been around the team and talked to all the folks about it day in and day out, and you're also a guy who goes through all the numbers and that kind of thing as well. What do you think are the biggest differences with Reggie Jackson lately?
Well, I agree. Yeah, I think that, I think there's a lot of things that have gone into their improved play, but I don't think there's a single bigger factor than the way Reggie's played lately. And, you know, all I can tell you is that Reggie feels that it's more to do with the fact that he is now feeling like he's getting his legs back underneath him and everything, and starting to just feel like a little more in the flow of a season and back with a normal NBA routine after having two injury-filled years that completely wiped out his summers. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard Matt Blake Griffin talk about how important having a full summer to work on his body and his game was to him last summer after not having that for the previous three summers. And for Reggie, I think he has, you know, really learned the same thing. And he just looked like he was out of sorts and not comfortable and everything else, you want to say, for the first, you know, 40 games or so. And Dwayne Casey kept saying, look, it's going to take him some time. And Dwayne said probably in October, November, that he thought it would be Christmas or the New Year. You know, and it actually pushed on for about another month after that. But, you know, basically since start of February, he's been really good and looking as close as he has to the, you know, the 2015-16 Reggie, which was, you know, you go back and look there, and Stan Van Gundy at the time said he thought Reggie was a top 8 point guard, even if you want to push that to top 10. You know, that was a really, really good year for point guards in the Eastern Conference, or I think Reggie would have made the All-Star team that year. And this is as close as he's been to that level since then. And beyond the health thing, there was a significant adjustment for Reggie and Dwayne Casey's offense. And Dwayne came in talking about how it would be an adjustment for Reggie because Kyle Lowry had to go through the same thing in Toronto. And Dwayne talks about the 0.5 mentality that he has, which means you've got a half a second to decide what you're going to do, you know, dribble, make a move, pass, shoot, whatever. And that is, you know, almost the antithesis of the way Reggie has played throughout his career, going back to Boston College. He's always been a guy who had the ball in his hands and had the liberty to probe and see where he could exploit defense for a lot more than 0.5, you know, and it was dribble, 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 and see what he could come up with. And Reggie had the explosion and the vision and the judgment to really take advantage of that, certainly at the college level. And early in his NBA career, he did that in, you know, sometimes limited opportunity at Oklahoma City. But I think we all remember the game when Russell Westbrook was out and they had a really, you know, evenly matched series with Memphis, and Reggie went in and I think scored like 34 points on the road at Memphis to pull out a win. And then certainly in his under Van Gundy in 2015 and 16, the bulk of their offense was pick and roll, Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond. And, you know, it's been a huge adjustment for him, but making that adjustment when he didn't feel comfortable physically was an even bigger adjustment. And I think once the physical, once he felt that he was getting back to his peak physically, then it was a lot easier for him to kind of figure out where he belonged in this offense. And I think it's all come together in the last, you know, certainly three weeks or so.
Yeah, you talk about that 2015-16. It wasn't that long ago that Reggie Jackson, with this same contract, looked like one of the biggest bargains in the, or not a huge bargain, but certainly playing over his contract. And then the injuries, that hasn't been the case the last couple of years, but these last 3 weeks, like you said, maybe playing right up to that contract at the level right now. But Luke, you wrote about Luke Kennard. I'm sorry, Keith, you wrote about Luke Kennard. I'm looking at my notes here. You're not Luke Kennard. We're not being joined by
I'm
Luke
not,
Kennard.
No,
yet.
No.
Maybe a little bit better of a stroke for you, from what I understand. But we'll. you got the article up on Pistons.com today. What do you think about this run of games from him? Obviously, it's one of the best runs that we've seen in his short 2-year career. Is there some things that you see as ultimately, you know, 57% in the last 6 or 7 games from three? Obviously, that's not sustainable, but you hope that it's, you know, somewhere in the possibly low 40s or something like that. Is there something that you see as ultimately not sustainable that he's doing, or something even on the other side that he can even kind of build upon in his overall game with the way he might look the rest of the season?
Well, I definitely think that 40 is sustainable for Luke, and Dwayne Casey would sign up for that in a heartbeat. Luke shot 40% from three as a rookie, which is, you know, that's really unusual, because that is one thing that rookies, it takes them a while to adapt, not only to the greater distance of the three-point line, but just the way NBA defenses close out. And with Luke, it was never about the distance. He's got great range. It was always about the kind of the need to pull the trigger very quickly in the NBA. And I think he's figuring that out. One of the things I talked with Luke and with Blake Griffin and Dwayne Casey about last night was it's not, and you know, Luke has had big games going back to last year. It's kind of the issue for Luke has been, the challenge has been stringing games together. And, you know, and that means that, you know, you're going to see different defenses every night, different personnel. You're going to see teams, you know, kind of trying to go at you in different ways. And really that is, you know, when you hear coaches talk about experience, that's what really the essence of what they're talking about, getting a feel for, you know, the variety of NBA personnel, getting a feel for all the schemes that you could possibly see, you know, and the more notches he puts on his belt in that regard, the more he will be able to put, you know, string successes together and eliminate kind of the droughts he goes through. And with Luke, it's kind of, you know, you can see that it's when he gets in the game, you're going to tell pretty quickly whether he feels comfortable or whether it's going to be one of those nights where Luke is kind of passive and it's 2, 3, 4 minutes where you barely notice he's on the floor and then he's out of the game because you barely notice he's on the floor, I guess. But I think, you know, look, Luke, he's got a high basketball IQ. He can put the ball on the floor with either hand. Dwayne was talking after practice today how he is similar to Blake in that he is very good in pick and roll as the ball handler, being able to make passes with either hand and spotting people. So, you know, the more they're putting him in those situations, the more experience he's soaking up, I think you're going to see him gradually become more consistent and eliminate those games where, you know, you look at the end of the game and Luke has played 15 minutes and had 3 shots and, you know, you kind of scratch your head and wonder how's that possible for a guy that offensively talented. So this is a real, but, you know, Luke said something interesting last night too, and it was that, you know, a lot of it is about him and his comfort level. A lot of it is about the way the team is playing around him. And I don't know if it's, you know, the personnel changes they've made, if it's just a, you know, a growing sense of confidence, if it's getting Ish back and getting Reggie right, but the ball is really moving now. And that's when a guy like Luke Kennard is going to be absolutely at his best. He's not a guy that you know, let's call a play and isolate Luke on one side of the floor and let him go to work. It's let's get some ball movement, get Luke moving off the ball. And I think what Luke is going to evolve into is kind of a more rounded, but similar as a shooter to a guy like Kyle Korver, who makes his living by creating space and getting people off him and being able to pop that shot so quickly a defense can't react. That's going to take, you know, obviously a few more years before he gets to that level where he can get it off that quickly. But when he does get more comfortable and has a little bit quicker trigger, he is such a intuitive player and such a good shooter that I think he's going to really be a weapon.
Keith Langlois here at Pistons.com joining us. And more importantly than the Pistons, let's talk about Keith here. I came across your work first. I was a subscriber growing up of the Oakland Press. We were one of those two newspaper families, which is very rare. Wow. We got the Free Press and the Oakland Press. Don't tell my bosses at the news, but Free Press and Oakland Press on the doorstep every day, mostly because of the high school sports coverage that the Oakland Press did in Oakland County. But of course, Keith as well. And you had you and Pat there and Marvin and Burkett and Mark Snyder back before their Free Press days as well. What was kind of the journey for you? Where'd you go to school? Where give us kind of the thumbnail sketch of Keith Langlois's career over the years.
Well, first of all, it certainly is not more important than everything going on with the Pistons, but I'll play along.
To me, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Where did you grow up, by the way?
I was a Royal Oak Kimball guy.
Okay. Royal Oak Kimball. We didn't sell a lot of papers in the south end of the county, so good for you.
Yeah, but we had a good enough basketball team where sometimes you were forced to write about us, so we got in the paper.
Okay. All right. Well, I grew up in the Upper Peninsula and went to college up there at Northern Michigan. And, you know, I was a sports editor of the campus paper for my last couple years and got a job out of high school in the UP in Escanaba and worked there for 5 years and then got hired at the Oakland Press in 1984 and worked on the copy desk there for a couple years and then went into sports in January of 86. Before I became sports editor and columnist, like a year later, in the summer of 87, some of my beats were, I did Tiger spring training when Sparky Anderson was the Tigers manager. I covered the Pistons as a beat for like 1.5 seasons when Chuck Daly was the coach. I covered Michigan football for one season as a beat writer with Bo Schembechler. So my introduction to those guys made it look really easy. So my standards for how a coach should go about his business were established early, and the bar was set pretty high. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, not long after that, as a columnist, Scotty Bowman was the coach of the Red Wings, and you know, I've been around some. And then Tom Izzo, I played the high school basketball against Izzo. He was a year ahead of me at Iron Mountain. My Nagani team eliminated Izzo and Mary. Their final high school basketball game came against us in the Class B regional finals in 1973. And I've known Izzo forever, and I spent a lot of time covering him. So I saw.
And I'm sure you've discussed that game with him while being around him in the professional sense.
We have discussed it a few times. Yeah,
good.
The conversation doesn't usually last long, but yeah, we talked about it. I spent about 10 years as the sports editor and columnist at the Open Press, and then they came to me in 95 or 6, I think it was, and said, which job do you want? This is getting kind of too big for one person, which I wholeheartedly agree with, and I became the columnist. And yeah, for a sports staff that was about one-third to one-fourth as big as the Free Press and the News in those days, we hustled and did a lot, and we had some really good people there. Ansar Khan covered the Red Wings for us. He's still covering the Red Wings for M Live. Tom Kowalski, who was one of my best friends and unfortunately passed away a few years ago after he had left for M Live to cover the Lions, was our Lions beat writer. And you know, we had some really good, dedicated people. We worked very hard and had a lot of fun, and I was proud of what we were able to do there at the Open Press. And then in 2006, the Open Press had changed ownership, and you know, I was not the, you know, when people ask me about my career path here and how I got out got out of the newspaper industry, I tell them, look, I was not smart enough to see in 2006 when I went to work for the Pistons what was going to come shortly in the newspaper industry, but I was smart enough to see that I didn't like the way things were being operated at the Oakland Press, which had been bought out by a company called Journal Register out of, I think they were based out of New Jersey, and notorious in the industry for really going in and destroying the journalistic integrity of newspapers and lowballing and, you know, slashing staff. And it was, I didn't like the direction, and I was looking for a way out. And then I got a soft landing with the Pistons, and it's been, 13 seasons later, here we are.
Now, I got to ask you one question about the Oakland Press back in the day, and maybe this is going to be breaking news if you're able to reveal it to us, but who wrote the Cosmo column back in the day?
Yeah. Well, it usually was whoever happened to be the high school beat writer at the time. And for most of my time I was sports editor, it was Wayne Wilson, who covered high school sports for us.
Okay. So Wayne, and then maybe Burkett, and then maybe Dunlap after that or something. But
yeah, I could probably, but you know, I was after 95, I really can't tell you who was doing it, but from like the late 80s to the mid 90s, at least, it was Wayne.
And like you said, like you mentioned, 2006 till now with Pistons.com. What's that? I mean, you go from newspapers to, essentially working for the Pistons, but still doing the job that the Daily Beat guys from the newspapers are doing there. How's that been like compared to maybe what you thought it might be going in? And what's the kind of day-to-day like for you as kind of, I guess, stuck in between in some ways, I guess is the best way to put it?
Well, I had no idea what it would be like, because when I started in 2006, there was only one other NBA team that I knew of at the time, at least, that had a similar position. It was just not, we were kind of breaking new ground there and making it up as we went. So all I know is, I had a personal relationship with Tom Wilson just from having covered him, from having been around and seeing the launch of the Palace and all the stuff he had done as a CEO of the Pistons/Palace all those years. And we were talking one day about just what we were talking about the things that were going on at the Oakland Press. And he, said, well, would you want to work for us? And I said, what would I do? So we batted it around for a few weeks. And then I started, my first day was training camp in 2006 when the Pistons were coming out of back-to-back NBA finals. But, you know, it was just, it kind of evolved over time, and I kind of made it up as I went along. It was just, you know, look, obviously I'm well aware of, you know, who signs my paychecks at the Detroit Pistons, but I'm also well aware of that the stated goal of the hire was to bring more eyeballs to the website, and the only way you do that is to, you know, make something, you have a shred of credibility and make it interesting enough. So no, I don't consider myself a cheerleader for the team. I do try to explain when fans are confused about why certain moves are made. I do try to put it, try to explain it in terms that make sense for the franchise, you know, why they do it at the time and why it makes sense in the future. So that's a big part of it. But you know, ultimately you have to give people a reason to believe you and a reason to be interested in reading it. So those are my kind of my abiding principles. It's, you know, it's pretty simple, but you know, if they don't find you credible and they don't find reading what you're writing interesting or worthwhile, they're not going to come back. So that's essentially what I try to do, all the while being mindful that if the Pistons are losing, that it's going to be very unlikely that we're going to get a lot of web traffic anyway. And when they win, you know, they're going to come. So that in the metrics from NBA.com that monitors all the team websites will ultimately prove that, you know, 10 times out of 10 winning teams draw a lot more traffic than lottery teams.
And we'll back that up here with the numbers here on the Locked On Pistons podcast as well, as pretty obvious from what we could tell. And I'll also say, Keith, that it's essential reading for me and all everyone else who follows the team very closely. And also give Keith a follow on Twitter for all the stuff you need to know during the game, before the game, after the game, at Keith_Langlois, LANGLOIS. But Keith, thanks for taking the time tonight, and enjoy Texas.
Thanks, Matt. Anytime.
Well, thanks again to Keith Langlois of Pistons.com for joining us from San Antonio, getting you ready for the Spurs game tonight against the Pistons in the Lone Star State. And again, get in touch with me if you're interested in helping out with the first few minutes of a couple of those episodes. There's the Sunday game against Chicago I need someone to recap, the Brooklyn game on Monday as well that I'll need someone to recap. So just get in touch with me via email at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. And I will let you know some more details about that. I'm not paying, also, by the way, just so you know. Just a little bit of exposure that you can give your work, or if you want to give a one-off try, you're not someone involved in media and want to give this kind of thing a shot, just let me know, and I'll probably just let the first three people to get in touch with me do it. And if nobody gets in touch with me, I'll start reaching out to some other folks. So give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. But Pistons and Spurs tonight, we'll recap it tomorrow. This is your host, Matt Schoch, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying have a good one, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.